Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
University of Oregon women's basketball team, they're locked in. I think they're playing for something bigger than themselves. We got some news today as Satu Sabali has announced that she will forego her eligibility and enter the WNBA draft. Oregon could have two of the top three picks in the draft. Kelly Graves, Oregon Ducks women's basketball coach, joining us now. How are you?
Hey, John, doing good. Delayed on our flight to SFO on United, naturally.
Guess who was responsible for that? I said, hey, I need him at 1:30. Can you push the flight back? Sorry.
You know what? You are now on my list, big guy. And not the good one either.
Coaches are always like that, though. You guys are always on such a schedule thing. Even though you appear easygoing, you're always on schedule, aren't you?
Well, it's just important. You know, the good thing is they can all just sit here and do their homework. You know, there was a time when you couldn't, you know, you didn't want to bring all your books, but now you got your laptop, all your homework's right there. So, you know, it's like study hall right now.
Who's your best student?
Oh, my goodness. We've got a bunch of them. Erin Boley might be the smartest person that I've ever met. Her and Lydia Giomi are two of the best students and citizens you'll ever see. You know, Satu is a really good student. And Sabrina would be, I would be remiss if I didn't say Sabrina would remind me that she's a good student.
But that's just competition. Although, just competition. Sorry, Sabrina. Okay.
We got a bunch of them.
Let's talk a little bit about Satu, because... Okay. I felt like she gets lost in the discussion when you talk Sabrina and Ruthie a lot. A lot of people talk about Ruthie and Sabrina. And I've been looking at her for the last 2 years going, she reminds me of Scottie Pippen. Look at how long she is. She's a good shooter. She's a good ball handler. I think the WNBA is really going to value her.
Oh, I do too. And I think that's a big reason why she's going. You know, people do talk about Sabrina, Ruthie, but we've had every WNBA team, GM, coach at our games this year, and they all talk to me about those two, but they really talk to me about Satu. So not a surprise. It was a good decision. We certainly support her. I mean, selfishly, my goodness, we'd love to have her back for another year, but, you know, I think she's doing the right thing. Her family can really use the help, John. I mean, she's got little brothers at home, and they don't have much. So, you know, even though it's not life-changing money, it is to them, you know, and every bit that she can help her family out, I think, is a good thing.
I talked to earlier in the show about sort of the diversity in a locker room, and I think you've got that. You've got socioeconomic, you've got race, religion, and it's kind of your job as a coach to bring that all together. How unique is that, and how much fun do you have melding together people who are also different and creating a team out of that?
It's a lot of fun. It can be challenging. You know, one of the things as a coach that I think gets overlooked, we want our players to compete against each other every day, right, and try to beat each other out for playing time or for that position or whatever. And once they've got beaten out, now we're asking them to cheer on their teammates and root for them to do well. I mean, think about that for a second.
Yeah.
You know, human nature would say, well, I kind of hope they fail so it gives me a chance. Well, you can't have that kind of thinking on a successful team. So it's unique. There's no question about it. And, you know, and Satu is one of the most unique players that I've ever coached. I mean, she is interesting. I hear all the time that she's going to be Chancellor of Germany one day. I mean, Chancellor Merkel, when she, you know, decides to give it up. Satu, I'm telling you, she's so socially aware. and isn't afraid to speak her mind. And she's intelligent. She does so intelligently. If you follow her on social media, you'll get that. It's fun. That's the fun challenge of being a coach. It's not just X's and O's, my friend.
What happened? Let's go back, when you really, you guys turned it on, because all of a sudden it was like you played a bunch of good teams and you just started blasting people. And I don't think it started with UConn. I think it started before that. What was that switch?
Arizona State on the road, the game we lost, we gave up a 12-point lead in the last 7 minutes of the game, and we just went through the motions. We gave up 30-something points, I think 32 or 33 points in that fourth quarter. And when we sat down and watched the film and really broke it down, I think our kids were embarrassed. You know, I think they realized, hey, we just can't go through the motions and beat people like we did. You know, we had just come off winning the opening Pac-12 weekend by 100 points at home. And so I think we just thought, oh, this is going to be easy. And we learned something. And so I think that really was the turning point, because since then we've been on a tear. And like you said, been playing really, really well.
We're talking to Kelly Graves.
Guess what? We're only as good as tomorrow night's game. So, you know, that could come to a crashing halt if we're not careful.
Oregon women's basketball coach Kelly Graves with us, about to board a flight for the Bay Area. You have Cal tomorrow night, and then you got everybody looking at that Stanford game. So how do you get your players to focus on tomorrow night when we're all talking about Stanford?
We've been in that situation a couple of times. You know, we were looking, people thought maybe we would overlook the mountain schools before with a UConn game, and we played really well both those nights. We've been in a situation before. We've got a mature team. You know, they know what's ahead of them here, and they know what they have to do. So I'm actually not worried about that. I am worried about the Monday game, not just because it's Stanford, but because we have a unique circumstance that day. You know, Sabrina has been asked to speak at the Kobe and Gianna Memorial, so she's going to be in L.A. that morning, and she won't fly into to Palo Alto till that afternoon, and basically will just show up to the game without having gone through shoot around that day and kind of gotten herself mentally prepared. So that's going to be a unique challenge in itself. But if there's anybody that can handle that kind of scenario, it would be Sabrina.
I keep saying that you guys are focused on something bigger than yourselves, but there's a national championship out there. What is it that brings that, though? Instead of talking about the goal, what do you have to do to win that thing?
Oh, I think just stay hungry. You know, at the same time, stay humble. We just got to keep getting better every day. It's funny, you hear coaches say that, and you go, come on, coach, really? You're going to give me coach speak? But it really is the truth. I think if you start thinking too far ahead, I think you lose sight of where you are and what you need to do in the moment. And I truly believe, you know, with this announcement today, I actually think it helps us. You know, then Satu doesn't get those questions, you know, at the Final Four like Sabrina did. And during the regionals, you were in our press conferences.
Yep.
You heard it all the time. And so she got it out there, and she wants to be part of Senior Day without overshadowing the seniors. And so, you know, I think that will help us. But we just got to... We gotta stay humble, like I said, and stay hungry, and stay mad. And in Sabrina, we trust. So
you and Sabrina against me in Satu, who wins that?
I don't know what kind of game you got. I know what kind of game I have. my team wins. So there you go, big guy.
All right, I wish it.
I can make threes. That's the difference maker.
I'm getting
make threes. Yeah.
I'm rebounding, but I don't know if there's going to be any rebounds between, you know, because I'm not shooting. So
hey, how about we do that sometime in April? We'll do that for the BFT Foundation.
Yeah. Well, how about we risk Sabrina's WNBA career by having her play a 2-on-2 game with me on the court?
You're the hatchet guy.
That's a bad idea.
You're the goon.
I'm not going to foul anybody in that game. All right. All right, Coach, good luck to you this weekend.
Hey,
I appreciate you.
Thanks.
All right. Kelly Graves, Oregon Ducks women's basketball coach. Like, I would love the concept of it, but I also think horrendous idea. Bad idea. because Sabrina's got a big NBA, WNBA career in front of her, endorsement, seven-figure endorsement deals, and now you've got, you know, Satu, who's going to be right on her heels. That's going to be the big surprise, because everybody's been focused on Sabrina Ionescu. What happens when, and everybody now projecting Satu as the number four pick in the draft, what happens when she goes second? And everybody realizes Oregon had the best two players in the eyes of the WNBA in all of college, women's college basketball. Will not be surprised by that. I've been calling her Scottie Pippen for 2 years. She might be better, like a better comparison than Scottie Pippen to Michael Jordan. Because Scottie Pippen, is he Scottie Pippen without Jordan? Because I still think, like, Satu is Satu without Sabrina. Like, you put her on Baylor, everybody's talking about her as, like, is she the best player in the country? We haven't had that discussion. And it would be blasphemy for me to say this. And Kelly Graves would disagree with me. But there have been times where I have wondered, in watching Sabrina Ionescu and Satu Sabali on the court at the same time, going, which of these two players is more valuable to their team? Is that crazy? And I only bring that up because Sabrina gets so much attention from the opposing team that sometimes things are more open for Ruthie Hebert and Satu. So keep an eye on it. We're talking women's college basketball. And what will be the story in late March and early April. I guarantee it. You're going to hear it from me here. We will be talking in late March and early April about the University of Oregon women's basketball team, because come April 3rd and April 5th, it's the national semifinal and the national final, and I expect Oregon to be in both of those games. Leave it right here. Coming up, 2 o'clock hour, we'll have the 2 at 2 Punch It audio. It's going to move fast in the 2 o'clock hour. Ken's in Eugene listening on Fox Sports Eugene. Ken, what's on your mind?
Mr. C, thanks again for taking the call. I'm getting better quality coverage of the Pac-12 than I am from their own network on your show. It's outstanding.
I appreciate that.
You opened your program by talking about a quote that was from the Arizona State president, I think.
Yes, Michael Crow.
And Michael Crow. That was very disheartening. I was thinking that, you know, you getting the message out there, the obvious writing on the wall, that people in his position, you interviewed a Washington quarterback, I think, a week ago.
Brock Heward, yeah.
Yeah, and his perception mirrored yours, was much more informed than this fellow's quote. I was very disheartened by that.
All right, here's what for people who are just tuning in, the Arizona State University president, Michael Crow, is one of the 12 members of the Pac-12 CEO group. That's 1/12 of the CEO group, which is the leadership for the Pac-12 conference. He is a bit of a blowhard, in my opinion. He tends to speak out of school. He's a member of the old guard, meaning in 2009, when the Pac-12 hired Larry Scott as Pac-12 commissioner, he was one of the CEO group members then, and there are only 3 left of the originals. It's he at Arizona State, Michael Crow, Gene Block at UCLA, and Dr. Edward Ray at Oregon State. Now, Edward Ray is retiring this summer. He'll step down. New president's coming in. So that will mean, effective this summer, only 2 of the original presidents or chancellors who hired Larry Scott will be around. It's all new guard. And I have to think the new guard is more tuned in to what's going on in the SEC and the Big Ten. Now, last week, Michael Crow went on a radio station in Arizona, and he basically said, everything's fine. We're tracking well. This is all optimistic. You know, I'm encouraged. I'm a big supporter of Larry's. And I don't blame people who had, like, the reaction of the caller, Ken and Eugene. Like, really disheartening, alarming, to hear somebody go, everything's fine when you see smoke and fire everywhere. Try that. You know? You see that in movies. You know, everything's fine. We're going good here. Nothing to see here. It was like, remember when Greg Oden was chronically injured as a young Blazers player? And Nate McMillan came out and he was like,
he's fine. Okay. Everybody, he is fine.
No, he wasn't. There was smoke coming out of those knees and fire coming out of his feet. He's not fine. So you've got Michael Crow saying everything's fine. We're tracking well. There's bigger things here, more important than football revenue. Now, three things I want you to keep in mind with. One, Michael Crow, the president at Arizona State, he wants to be right about this. He doesn't want to be wrong. He wants to be right. So he is continuing to stick with the horse that he originally hired. Like, I think a smarter viewpoint would be, hey, Larry Scott was the right hire in 2009. He did some good things for the conference, but he's all wrong for the conference by 2020. He's the wrong guy. We need to make a change. But he's not willing to come off that point, A, because he's a leader and he's a little stubborn. B, second point, Arizona State's a total outlier here in the conference. Anybody else notice how Arizona State, the profile of the athletic programs there have sort of suddenly spiked upwards? Suddenly, it's like Arizona State is a little bit more immune than some others to the lack of revenue that's pouring in. And it turns out they are. Because of their large student body, 40,000 plus students, because of the fact that they get subsidized with student fees more than others, Arizona State, this is just a smaller piece of the puzzle for them. So if you are Michael Crow, the president of Arizona State, you're looking around going, this is killing Washington State. It's killing Oregon State. It's killing Arizona. It's killing Cal. Hey, maybe it's not so bad for us. Kills Colorado. Like, immediately, we're starting in fifth place instead of 11th or 12th. We got a real shot here. Well, this is a problem for us versus the Big Ten and the SEC. It's a bit of an advantage if you are Arizona State, comparing your revenue to Cal, comparing your revenue to Arizona, Washington State, Oregon State, Colorado. Like, you're crushing them because you got student fees. So he's an outlier. Third thing, this is one of 12 voices in the room, and there are 12 voices that matter. I have to think that Michael Crow is well aware that Ed Ray retiring leaves he and Gene Block as two votes for Larry Scott in a room that could potentially include 10 nays. That's an important distinction. Two votes. And I would caution people who say, well, these new guard presidents are going to come in, they're going to have bigger problems. I kind of think that the academics of the old guard Pac-12 conference mentality will lose out to the new guard presidents and chancellors who go, hey, our revenue streams matter. There is a direct correlation between the amount of revenue we can raise and how much we can pay our football coach and how much we can spend on recruiting and how much we can spend on assistant coaches. And gosh, it's not accidental that our product sucks relative to the rest of the Power Fives. Because what the Pac-12 is doing right now is going to create an ACC-like syndrome where you get one juggernaut program like Clemson in the ACC, and it's probably going to be Oregon, frankly. Like, you know, Oregon should be happier about this than anybody because it can rely less on that revenue stream. It can get Phil and Penny Knight to write checks, and Oregon can just win the Pac-12 conference every year, right? That's the theory. But it just kills the rest. The perception of the conference just is so beat up that you got to wonder if Michael Crow speaking out rankles 10 or so other university presidents and chancellors. He's saying everything's fine. There's nothing to look at. If I'm the chancellor at Colorado, Phil DeStefano, I'm looking around going, what? What are you talking about? From the president at Washington.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face
Truth. Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.